Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Farm Studio, I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you. Today, plenty of local, plenty of national sports on tap, but we are going to continue the high school football preview for the weekend. We have been talking a lot of high school football. We have Emory taking on Grand this weekend on the road, and we also have Carbon also on the road taking on the Payson Lions. Yesterday, we talked to Coach John Famalo. Today, we are going to talk to Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dinos. That'll be next segment. He'll join us over the phone, and we'll give you an update on the Dinos, how they can respond to that loss, that 40-15 loss to the Manti Templars last week. Big challenge for this team heading on the road to take on 4A Payson, who likes to throw the football around. The Dinos struggled to really counter what Manti was able to accomplish through the air last week. So we'll talk to Coach Huntsman about that. Also, I mentioned we are live from the Auto Farm studio. We're going to be joined by Justin Kennedy of the Auto Farm. Great sponsor of Drive Time Sports. He's going to talk a little bit about the Auto Farm. But Justin and I always have great conversations about the national sports scene. And so I'm looking forward to having Justin in the studio a little bit later as well. Let's take a look at the national sports headlines. And I want to begin with the NFL. And the NFL today actually addressed, I'm going to go ahead and call it nonsense on the new helmet rule. And I mean no disrespect when I say this, but if you have watched preseason football, there's this new helmet rule that was agreed upon by all of the clubs. But here's the frustrating thing from a fan standpoint. What in fact is a legal hit anymore? I really don't know. You know, the NFL Competition Committee made the announcement today that they met by a conference call to discuss the new rule, the new helmet rule, 2 weeks into the preseason. A couple of instances stand out to me. I saw a quarterback sack that was ruled roughing the passer, not the helmet rule. This is a completely different rule because the linebacker that brought the quarterback down, according to the back judge, used all of his body weight to put him in the turf. That's a 15-yard penalty. I'm going to call that the Aaron Rodgers rule. We have the Tom Brady rule where you can't hit below the knee. That's the Tom Brady rule. Okay, that's what ended a season for Tom Brady. On the flip side of that, last year Aaron Rodgers' injuries, Anthony Barr falling on Aaron Rodgers, that's the Aaron Rodgers rule. The helmet rule I have seen a couple of times pop up in preseason play, once noticeably on a punt return, and I just didn't quite get it. Basically, it's an attempt to make the game safer. The committee says that the officials will have to determine inadvertent or incidental contact with the helmet and or face mask, because that is not a foul. I really don't know what a safe tackle is in the NFL, a legal tackle, I should say, in the NFL. Here's the thing. There's no such thing as a safe tackle. I don't care what level we're talking about. Pee-wee, middle school, high school, college, NFL. I love college football. I love it. My favorite sport. I don't know what targeting is. I have no idea. And what's even more mind-boggling is when I'm watching a game and I see something that looks like a targeting call and it's not even reviewed by the officials, because, see, college football can bring in instant replay. The NFL can't do that, at least according to the rule. The use of replay and reviewing ejections is very limited in the NFL. College football, they will review play after play, and I'm fine with it if it determines who's ejected, because an ejection is a huge, huge deal. I was at the Fiesta Bowl. Boy, it's been about 3 years. It was Joey Bosa's last game at Ohio State, and Bosa was tossed, I want to say it was the opening quarter, because of a helmet-to-helmet hit. It was reviewed, and it was deemed targeting. He was tossed, but it was reviewed. The game is moving so fast, you have to use instant replay when determining if a player is going to be ruled ineligible for the remainder of a game and suspended for the next game. You have to use replay. The NFL, they're not going to do that. They offered some sort of clarification today. It is a foul. Here's the quote. It is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. Right. But is it a foul if a player lowers his helmet and makes contact with his shoulder? That's what I don't get. And in college football, as far as targeting goes, I have no idea. And again, it's my favorite sport. I love it. I don't know what targeting is in the NFL, or in college football, excuse me. Haven't a clue. The NFL offered some sort of clarification to this rule, but at the same time, they said nothing. They're not changing the helmet rule. They're not adding to it. And I believe this is going to be a point of frustration for fans throughout the entire season. I get agitated when the NFL talks about getting rid of kickoffs. It's called football for a reason, right? You use your foot on the ball, and you want to eliminate kicking? No. That's what agitates me. This rule is going to irritate a lot of fans because it's another element that a casual, even a diehard fan, can't actually, I don't want to say you can't see with your, but in fast motion, you're unable to get clarification right off of the bat. That's why it's going to irritate fans. Some other news coming out of the NFL today, the New England Patriots have released Kenny Britt, who's been sidelined by a hamstring injury. This was a low-risk, high-reward signing for New England to begin with. It's not a major surprise. He hasn't participated in a full practice in training camp since suffering a hamstring injury in June. That was mandatory minicamp time. Julian Edelman is going to serve a 4-game suspension. And the Patriots have already released Jordan Matthews and Malcolm Mitchell earlier in this camp. But I don't know that Kenny Britt was going to play a major role within this Patriots wide receiving core to begin with. So after Edelman right now, the Patriots have Chris Hogan. They have Philip Dorsett. Cordarrelle Patterson, who is going to land a spot as a kickoff returner, no doubt. And they also signed Eric Decker to a 1-year deal. Now, when Eric Decker was signed, I thought there was a golden chance that Kenny Britt would be on his way out. Riley McCarron, Braxton Berrios, Paul Turner, Matthew Slater. That rounds out the depth chart for New England. Britt had a couple of good seasons with the Titans, had a good season or two with the Rams, did not work out with the Browns. Britt signed with the Patriots in December, appeared in the final three regular season games, had 2 catches for 23 yards, healthy scratch for all 3 playoff games, kind of fit the mold of Michael Floyd. To me, Kenny Britt's a guy that has had a load of talent, but for one reason or another, it's never been able to carry over efficiently for a long period of time, and now he'll be looking for a new home, and I'll be very surprised if someone signs him before the start of the 2018 season. That's a quick look at what has happened in the national sports front for football. Let's talk injuries in Major League Baseball, because races are starting to heat up. Yankees closer Aroldis Chapman was placed on the 10-day DL today due to left knee tendonitis. He threw 6 pitches last night and had to leave the game. Chapman said he didn't know when he would actually be able to return, but he wanted to at least use 10 days to just rest. That's big for the Yankees. You know, the Red Sox have dominated the AL East for the majority of this season because the Red Sox have dominated most teams. They're 8 games up on the Yankees. I think it's safe to say with, 37, 36 games to go, that the Red Sox are in cruise control in the East. The Yankees, as far as the wild card goes, they're comfortable right now. They're 7 games up of Seattle for that final wild card spot, which is what the Yankees are going to have to play for. But that is definitely an injury to monitor. Now let's look at baseball's scoreboard, because a lot of games being played that have major implications, especially in the National League. We'll talk about those games a little bit later tonight. Right now we have the Rangers in the bottom of the 8th inning up on the Oakland A's 4-2. The Houston Astros taking care of business against the Seattle Mariners. They're up 9-3. Why is this big? Well, the Astros and the A's are tied at 76-50 at the top of the AL West because the A's just keep plugging along. And I actually think they're going to win that division the way things are going. Golden opportunity today, but they can't take care of the Rangers. They're going to have to rely on a late inning stretch in order to pull something out here because we're in the bottom of the 8th. And the A's trail by 2, and the Astros are up by 6. Final scores earlier today, the Blue Jays topped the Orioles 6-0. The White Sox defeating the Twins 7-3. The Milwaukee Brewers getting a much-needed win. They topped the Cincinnati Reds 4-0. Still to come, 5 o'clock hour baseball. We have the Phillies and the Nationals at 5:05. The Braves will take on the Pirates. The Red Sox play host to the Indians. We get the Cubs and the Tigers. The Giants travel to meet the Mets. Noah Syndergaard on the mound for New York. The Yankees are on the road to meet the Marlins. We get the Royals and the Rays. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6:40 tonight, Padres and the streaking Rockies with John Gray on the mound. The Rockies closing in on the Diamondbacks just to get game and a half back of that top spot. The Rockies 2 games up on the Dodgers in the NL West. We get the Angels and the Diamondbacks tonight. The Dodgers looking to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Cardinals. Walker Buehler, the rookie, will take them out. He's 6-4 with a 3-1 ERA. The Cardinals playing some of the hottest baseball right now in the National League at 70-57. If the playoffs were to start today, the St. Louis Cardinals would be there. That is a tremendous story. Considering that they had to fire Mike Matheny, and the way things have completely turned around for this group, the Cardinals would be in the playoffs. It'd be the Cardinals and the Brewers right now with a wild card, with the Braves, Cubs, and Diamondbacks taking the division leads. That's a great story. It's the most St. Louis Cardinals thing that has happened in quite some time. They are going to sneak into the playoffs. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Again, coming up next segment, we're going to catch up with Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dinos, and we got you a local sports recap coming in just a moment. It's a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin on the high school golf course, where yesterday the Carbon Dinos extended their 39-stroke region lead by 6 as they took home the number one spot in the third meet of the season. It's Spanish Oaks in Spanish Fork, the home site of ALA. Fighting the wretched conditions throughout the day, the Dinos were led by Brady Gagan, who shot an 81. That was the team low score. Carson Martinez delivered the second lowest score with a 91, followed by Caden Stravinsky's 92 and Nick Olson's 95. The final team score of 359 for Carbon was just enough to top second place Delta, who was led by Jake Henry, who shot an 87. Again, Carbon has now opened up a 45-stroke lead 3 meets into the season. They'll continue the Region 14 trek next week, as the team travels to Delta to the Sunset View Golf Course. This will be a crucial meet with an opportunity for Carbon to develop quite the advantage over the second-place Rabbits. We stick with Carbon High School, but we move over to girls soccer. And yesterday, the Carbon Lady Dinos opened up Region 14 play with a dominating 5-1 victory over the Union Cougars in Roosevelt. Carbon wasted no time developing quite the advantage. They led 4-1 at the end of the first half and added one more goal in the second half for good measure. Grace Broadbear netted 3 goals, registering her first hat trick of the season. Ryan Brady chipped in with 2 goals to lead Carbon to the victory. Carbon is now 1-0 in region play, and they'll look to continue that trend when they play host to Providence Hall tomorrow at home at 4 p.m. As the Region 14 standings sit right now, Providence Hall joins Carbon at the top of the standings. At 1-0 in region play, they too won their region opener yesterday, picking up a 3-2 victory. We stick with girls soccer, but we move over to Emory High, and yesterday the Lady Spartans continued their non-region season as they blasted through the Beaver Beavers 6-0 on the road. Sydney Stilson scored 2 goals to lead Emory in the victory. Outside of that, Sophie Huntington, Morgan Herdsman, Chloe Sermon, and Alexis Winter all found the back of the net once. Kerry Cook once again recorded the shutout at goalkeeper for the Lady Spartans. That marks the second shutout in as many games as Emory blanked Payson last week 3-0. The Lady Spartans will return to the field tomorrow. That'll be a home tilt with Gunnison Valley. That is the final non-region game of the non-league slate. Emory will open up Region 15 action next week at home against North Sam Pete. And then Thursday, they'll again be at home taking on the Grand Red Devils. We stick with high school sports and take a look at today's schedule. Both Carbon and Emory will open up the volleyball season as the two squads go toe-to-toe with one another at Carbon High School. The varsity matchup is set to begin at 6:30 p.m. It'll be the only matchup of the year between the two squads. It'll be Carbon's only game this week. Emory, on the flip side, will continue the volleyball season this weekend with a trip to St. George for a preseason tournament. And we move over to junior college athletics. USU Eastern's athletic department will host their first booster meeting on August 29th at 5 p.m. inside the Jennifer Levitt Student Center Ballroom. Anyone is welcome to enjoy a free dinner with a discussion about the Booster Club and how you can help the Eagles move toward the top of the talented Scenic West Athletic Conference. There will also be an update on the current fall sports at USU Eastern, which include men's and women's soccer and, of course, volleyball. Those who planned on attending the event are encouraged to bring questions, as there will be time set aside for the goals of the athletic department. Following the dinner, attendees will be a part of the annual athletics open meeting where expectations of the athletic department will be discussed. If you have further questions regarding the booster meeting or USU Eastern's booster club, contact Assistant Athletic Director Scott Madsen at 650-0227. And today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll continue the high school football conversation. We'll be joined by Carbon High School coach Josh Huntsman. We'll recap Carbon's loss to Manti this past Friday and preview Friday's tilt against Payson. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Let's talk more high school football. Yesterday on the show, we talked to Coach John Famalo of the Emory Spartans. Today, we're going to talk Carbon Dino football. Dinos opened up the season with a 40-15 loss to the Manti Templars. That was last Friday at home. Carbon with a chance to right those wrongs in another non-region tilt this Friday on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. They'll travel to meet the Payson Lions. Joining us on the phone right now to talk a bit about last Friday's game and what lies ahead, we have Coach Josh Huntsman on the phone right now. Coach, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Coach, let's start by talking about Friday's season opener. You and I did discuss this following the contest on the post-game show. You guys battled tough throughout a half against Manti. Third quarter, things kind of got out of hand. All in all, when you had a chance to go back and look at the tape, how did you assess the way the team played Friday?
You know, offensively, I thought we played pretty well. You know, we didn't sustain long drives, but we were able to put some things together that we can build on and things that, you know, will move us in a positive direction. Defensively, you know, there's a lot of work there. We need to shore some things up in the back end. We need to get better pressure from our defensive line. And, you know, that's a work in progress.
As far as the offense goes, and we'll start with this. Coach, there was a drive in the third quarter that, for me, it was very memorable because you guys didn't score any points, but you managed to take about 5 minutes off of the game clock. You guys were in control at the beginning of that third quarter. After that, well, I guess we could start with that because that's what you guys want to do, right? I mean, you don't necessarily have to score points on every drive, but the way this offense is set up, you want control of the game. And I thought on that one possession, and I'm sure you know which possession I'm talking about, you guys had that.
Yeah, you know, I felt the same way. The hard part about that is when you're on a drive that you're down 18-7, you definitely do need points out of a drive like that. But yeah, you know, we did exactly what we wanted to do. We had time of possession. We held the clock. You know, we punched that one in the end zone. You know, we're looking at 14-18, and we're actually in really good shape at that point. You know, with us not having punched in the end zone, you know, we flipped the script. They get the ball turned back over to them and go down and score. And, you know, that kind of almost puts it out of reach for us, you know, with the way our offense is set up.
One of the things I definitely appreciated in this game, Coach, even though it was a 3 or 4 possession game, you stuck true to the game plan offensively, and that was running the football. You didn't change anything up. I know these are non-region games. They don't count towards that region record. Is that kind of the idea behind it when you're down by 3 or 4 scores, just staying true to what you want to do and what you want to improve on?
Well, you know, and you've heard me say this multiple times, we do what we do despite what they do. And so, you know, we were going to continue to run the ball. And, you know, that last play, we saw an opportunity to throw the ball down deep. Their free safety had actually stepped up into the box, and he was a little tighter. And so we did end up throwing one over the top. And, you know, that's just what we do. You know, we're going to try to suck them down into the box and see if we can get as many of them in as we can and then throw a quick pass over the top. You know, we only threw the ball 8 times in the ball game. I think 2 of them were intercepted. We had 2 receptions and then a few incompletions. But, you know, that is our game plan. That's what we do.
You and I did talk about Ryker Larson following the game, and to me, Coach, he was very, very good in this contest. I mean, there were times where I felt like he was the most efficient offensive weapon, not taking anything away from Colin Lewis, but to me, it was the perfect complement to Colin. It was kind of the thunder and lightning type mode. Is that something that you expected?
You know, we expected both of our backs to do pretty well. You know, Ryker's actually been hitting the hole really hard during the week. He was doing a great job running the football for us in the ball game, ran for 94 yards. You know, Colin ran for 53. Riddick ran for 51. Jalen Dennis ran for 20. I mean, we had a total of 220 yards rushing, but, you know, it wasn't enough. We've got to get all of our players at that 90-yard mark. If we can get all three of them at the 90-yard mark, we're going to be in much better shape. But yeah, no, Ryker, he didn't surprise me at all. He looked real good during practice all week.
If we flip to the defensive side of the ball, Coach, we can talk about the secondary in a moment, but the fact is you guys did struggle to get pressure on Manti. I did notice that when Kyle King was under pressure, he's a phenomenal quarterback, but when you guys put pressure on him, you made things difficult on that kid.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where Colby Bedke came off the edge and was able to get pressure on him, and he threw some errant balls. But, you know, he's the type of kid that's going to stand tall in the pocket. He's going to throw the ball. He's going to be able to throw it well on the run. And so, you know, he's a very dynamic player, and Manti's super lucky to have him.
What was the mode, I guess, this week in practice defensively? What are some of the changes or some of the adjustments that you guys have to make going into Friday?
Well, we got to figure out how to get more pressure on the quarterback, and so we're gonna roll up into a four front this week. We've got Chancellor Sheminett back from the military, and so we're gonna put him at one defensive end. We're gonna put Colin Lewis at the other defensive end. Two of our big offensive linemen will play defensive tackle for us. You know, we'll roll back with three linebackers. We'll roll an additional safety over the top so that we can't get beat deep. We're going to try to match up with them and say, you know what, we'll let your best beat our best, and so be it.
Again, we're being joined right now by Carbon Dino football coach Josh Huntsman. Coach, let's talk about the non-league tilt this Friday on the road against Payson. I'm curious to see the way these kids perform on the road. To me, there's less pressure because at home it's a season opener. There's optimism and there's expectation. When you go on the road, especially against a 4A opponent, to me, I think this is the perfect follow-up game to a season opener that didn't quite go your way.
You know, I definitely believe it is. You know, Payson's a good football club. They end up beating Ben Lomond 25-0 over the weekend. They threw every touchdown that they scored, they threw for, and so that's going to put, you know, a little added pressure on our secondary this week to get better and to be in the right spots. But, you know, Payson's a good ball club. We look forward to the challenge, and then we're going to give them everything that we got.
You mentioned throwing for three touchdowns. Hank Bowers was extremely efficient against Ben Lomond, completing 12 of 18 passes for over 200 yards and three touchdowns. Not a single interception. And, Coach, when you take a look at the amount of receivers that touch the ball, I mean, there's four different receivers coming up with those 12 grabs. So we definitely spread the love. When you look at Payson on tape, what stands out to you offensively about this team?
You know, they change formations. I did a lot of motions, and so our kids are going to have to be disciplined. They're going to have to know who their read is. They're going to have to stay man-to-man with that person, and we will chase across the field and make sure that we put our best on their best. And so that's kind of the key for us, is if we can get good pressure from our front four and, you know, stick with the receivers man-to-man, I think we've got a good shot at getting them out of what they want to do.
They definitely have a couple of different options out of the backfield. I guess it's somewhat similar to Manti. I mean, they have a lead back in Harrison Judd, but outside of that, it's kind of a running back by committee approach, and that's kind of the way Manti approaches things as well.
Yeah, it definitely is, and you know, both of those teams are similar in what they do offensively. You know, Manti runs a little bit more of that fly sweep look, but, you know, you'll get those traditional pro sets. And you know, it's watching Payson is a lot like watching the San Francisco 49ers when Joe Montana and Steve Young were there running that West Coast style. A lot of movement, a lot of counters, a lot of things like that. You know, they do a good job with what they do.
Which means it's a definite bounce-back opportunity for the secondary.
Yes, it definitely is. You know, our secondary, you know, we've pushed them pretty hard this week. We've gone through quite a few footwork and agility drills, making sure that we're making proper turns, making sure that we're you know, hand placement's better this week. And so our emphasis this week has been on our secondary.
It doesn't matter what level of competition you're playing, Coach. 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, doesn't matter. Whenever you pitch a shutout, you've done something right defensively. And that's what Payson did against Ben Lomond. 21-0 victory last Friday. Friday. When you look at the offense to defensive matchups for Carbon, do you like what you guys see defensively out of Payson, and is there something there that you can exploit?
You know, I definitely think that there is. They have players that can definitely cover in space, and we're going to bring the offense back down into that box-style offense. You know, we're going to try to make them play in the phone booth with us. And so we're going to try to make it tough on their inside seven. If we can make it tough on their inside seven, we keep their secondary from giving any run support and giving any pass support. So, you know, we'll definitely have to mix it up a little bit this week. You may see a few more passes out of us in our offensive game, but, you know, for the most part, we're just going to continue to do what we do.
I did ask you at the end of the contest on Friday if there were some ideas to get Jalen Dennis the ball in space, but we saw it on a kick return. He was half a step away from really having a big kick return right up the gut inside the hash marks. A couple of times offensively, he was close to getting around the edge. He caught that long touchdown pass, which was a dime from Noah Jones. So it seems like when this kid is in space, that's when he's most dangerous.
Yeah, he definitely is. And, you know, it kind of went against what you do with logic. We didn't tell Jalen to plant his heels on the 10-yard line. We thought, you know, when the kid kicked the ball the first couple of times, he was, you know, he's pitching lawn darts. And so we figured if he could catch the ball on the 5 and make one move, we thought we could get him to break. And, you know, he brought one out to the 13, which was not bad. And, you know, just the way he runs is dynamic. If he hits the hole in the proper manner, if he'll tuck it in behind those two big pullers in front of him, you know, Jalen's going to gain a whole bunch of yards. And you know, he did a great job for us over the last weekend. And you know, you want to get him the ball as best you can. We only got him 9 touches on the ball game, and so we need to do a better job at getting him a few more touches.
Having a dynamic player like that from a football coach's standpoint has got to be fun, because that allows you to get creative and open up the playbook at times, doesn't it?
It definitely does. You know, we'll call different passing plays for him out of our double wing, which really opens it up, and it keeps defenses honest. You've got to, as a corner and as a free safety, you can't come down and play in the box all the time. You're going to have to be able to break out and cover that. And you know, with the shifty nature that Jalen runs with, you know, there's definitely opportunities for us to get him out in space.
You did mention the return of Chance LeChaminade. Coach, in practice, how big of a boost has that been since Monday?
You know, it definitely has been a big boost. You know, we have a specific package that we've designed for Chance, and so, you know, we'll be able to install that package this weekend, and you'll be able to see him run the ball a little bit. You'll be able to see him catch a few balls. And, you know, it's just been nice having him back. The one thing that we need to definitely get him into is game shape. You know, he's in military shape, but he was, you know, in Missouri, and so it's a little different climate. You know, you're coming back up to altitude, and so, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time to get his wind underneath him.
He and Noah Jones had great chemistry at times last year on the football field. That's something that you can't teach. Is it kind of seamless for those two since he's been back?
Yeah, you know, those two kind of just picked up where they left off last year. We, you know, first play of practice when Chance came back, we threw a little out to him, and Noah hit him in stride, and you know, it was nice to see that those two still have what they had from last year.
Coach, last question before I let you go. On the injury front, how does the team look now in the middle of the week?
You know, we're pretty healthy. You know, Connor Fawcett was the only one that we were truly worried about. He took that big helmet-to-helmet shot midway through the second quarter, and, you know, we were a little bit worried about him, but he seems to be okay. You know, he's been out kicking field goals for us, been out playing. We moved him back to strong safety for us this week, and so, you know, he was the only one that we were truly concerned about. You know, we should get Isaac back a little bit today with practice and see where he's at and if he's ready to go. He didn't play during the Manti game, suffered a groin injury before it, and so, you know, we're hoping to have him back today. So I think that we should be pretty healthy.
Coach, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you again for the time. Best of luck against Payson on Friday, and we'll see you at the game.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
That's Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. Plenty more coming up on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll return right after this.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... say it again? Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down.
Price, Utah.
Now.
Me and my man, Trav. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Speaking of the Auto Forum Studios, we actually have a special guest joining us in the studio right now, Justin Kennedy, sales manager at the Ford dealership in town. I still call it the new Ford dealership in town. Because we are live from the Auto Forum Studios, Justin is going to join us today. We're going to talk a little sports and everything that's going on at the Auto Forum. Justin, I appreciate you stopping by today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jordan. I really appreciate you putting me on the air with you. I appreciate it.
Well, it's fun. It's fun to talk with you, that's for sure. Before we dive into some sports talk, first off, we got to find out what's going on at the Auto Forum. You and I were talking during that last commercial break. Right now, it is the summer sales event going on. You guys have a couple of more weeks of this. Great opportunity for people in the local area to take advantage of some great incentives being offered by Ford.
Absolutely. You know, with the Ford sales event, their big push is 0% for 72 months with interest climbing. And we've sold a ton of new Ford products in the last 60 days because of the low interest with the 0%. Hey, it's everything goes to principal. We got the 0% for 72 months right now on Ford Escape, Ford Edge, Ford Explorer, and Ford Fusion. On the Fusion, you don't even have to have the best credit to qualify for this 0% for 72 months. They buy it a little bit lower credit level tier. So if you're used to buying, you know, say used vehicles, and with the zero interest in interest-free loan, maybe you can get into a brand new one. So it's worth coming down and taking a look at. If you've had a few credit challenges in the past, hey, Ford's looking at it, and you know they want to sell as many Ford products as possible, so they're helping out the customers, and it's really helping us put more new Fords on the ground.
I still say the new Ford lot because it's just it's going to be like new for a very long time because you guys have a beautiful facility down there. How much easier has it been for you guys having the two locations? Because we can't forget about the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram location either. You guys are all one family, but you do have that Ford dealership off on its own, not far from the from Castle Country Radio. How has that been for you guys?
It's been wonderful. You know, it's been, we're actually seeing new people that we haven't seen in the past. You know, we're getting a lot of service and parts traffic right off the highway. I think people are seeing more visible, more people that didn't know where we're at. You know, people driving through, it's more visible to come down the Ford store. But we, you know, the only reason why we're in business and able to do that is because of our local customers and how this community has supported us over the years. And we're very grateful, and we want to keep doing the best job we can to keep our customers coming back and, you know, helping us out, and we'll help you out, and that's what it's all about.
As far as the Auto Forum goes, you guys have always had a big hand in local sports, and that's why I love getting you on Drive Time Sports. You guys have always been big supporters of Castle Country Radio and the sports program we have here. You guys work hand in hand with local sports. You're a big local sports guy as well. I mean, you see the value of making sure that you support the youth that continue to participate in sports.
Absolutely. You know, some of the best memories we have as growing up are because of the sports, and they would not happen, you know, with the cost of, you know, football, with all the programs, football, basketball, volleyball, soccer, you know, whatever it may be. You know, it needs the support of the community, and, you know, I'm a fan. I like to go to the games. I like to, you know, go support the teams, and like getting to know more and more players as my kids grow older. And it's, you know, I'm a big sports fan. I love football. I love basketball. I love volleyball. I love baseball. So I'm in a good spot here in Carbon County. And, you know, Gus and Danny and Tyson have really been, over the years since I've been here, a great supporter of the sports program. And it's not just for the advertising for, you know, our car dealer, automobile dealerships. It's, you know, we all truly care about the success of this community, and you know, trying to give back as people give to us, you know, through buying cars and services cars at our dealerships.
Yeah, I know you spend a lot of time around the Little League here locally as well.
Yeah, I do. My kids are at that age where they're playing Little League, and there's a lot of people that donate a lot of time, whether it be coaching, you know, or running the programs. You know, that gets looks past. You know, we all have a little competitive drive in us, but it gets looked past about how much time people donate to the community, to so them programs can excel and succeed, and we have one of the best Little League programs in the state of Utah in Carbon County here. And, you know, it's not because we just have the best players. It's because we have people that support it and want our teams to do good. And we have great people and leaderships that run the programs, and they run great.
I'm going to give the listeners out there an opportunity to get to know Justin Kennedy. So first off, when someone comes into the Ford dealership, I'm going to go out on a limb and say 8, 9 out of 10 times, you probably talk sports before you actually talk a car sale. That's just an estimation from when I've been around the dealership. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we like to talk sports. I'm a big outdoorsman. I love to fish and do a little hunting on the side. So I like to go golf. I mean, I kind of like to do it all. So, you know, when you come in and buy a car from us, it seems like it's not all business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to be a friend before, during, after the sale. And, you know, I'm not from here. You know, I've been here a long time now, but I've got the best friends and best customers that became friends. And I do have got that because of my time at the dealership. And I feel privileged that there's so many good people in this community, and I'm pretty honored to be part of it.
I know in the coming weeks we'll be talking more NFL football. You're a Kansas City Chiefs guy.
Yeah.
So let me throw this out there for you, because we were talking about the Chiefs earlier on in the week. Pat Mahomes, new quarterback in Kansas City. If you had to rank him in the AFC West, second best quarterback in the AFC West, over, under, or just right? It's a tough question.
Tough question. You know, obviously Oakland's quarterback's proved himself. You know, Case Keenum at Denver, you know, he had a great year last year, great run. So, you know, Phillip Rivers, he's probably
best in the AFC West.
You know, he's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. So he may be fourth.
You think he's fourth?
I mean, right now, because he's played one game last year that kind of didn't really, the season was pretty much over for Denver, and Kansas City was already seeded in the playoffs. So, but they must see something. That Chiefs coach organization and coaching staff must have seen something to, you know, I know financially they had to let Alex Smith go. There was reasons there, but they probably could have made Alex Smith and with his best season last year.
He was pretty good.
MVP candidate.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
You know, I think they must see a lot in Pat Mahomes. I know that his physical attributes, his speed. I mean, Alex Smith had great, you know, but his arm strength, maybe one of the best in the NFL. I don't know if you've seen the 69-yard pass he threw through the air to Tyreek Hill in the preseason. Granted, it's a preseason game, but I mean, that takes a lot to throw it that far under pressure.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. So, I was curious as to your thoughts on Pat Mahomes. And like I said, we'll get you in a little bit more often. We'll talk some NFL football as it continues to move forward. You're a big Little League World Series guy. You told me that's what you've been spending the majority of your time watching.
Yeah, I've watched in the night a game or two. I watched last week with my son. I watched some regional tournaments, and it's a little bit different as 12-year-olds in Little League. I know when we play Cal Ripken Little League here in Price. So at 11-year-olds, our kids move to 70-foot bases instead of 60, and they can lead off. So it's a little bit different to see that, you know, in the Little League World Series, they're pitching from the same mound and the same bases as our 10-year-olds do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a great event. I mean, worldwide, they get, you know, ESPN broadcasted it, and I thought it was great that they had that major league game last year and this year. It's actually a game that counts. I think it's great for the kids, and it's great for the Little League organization. And, you know, that's how they develop kids, but also not very many of those kids go on and play professional baseball, but they learn things and learn how to be a teammate, and they probably learn how to become a better person in life because of it. And, you know, I'm sure they'd all go back and think when they get a little older and think about how much time their coaches spent with them and donated with them. And, you know, they may not realize that at 10, 12, 15, 17, 18, but as you get a little older, you realize how important that is.
Justin Kennedy, sales manager at the Auto Forums Ford dealership. Right now, the summer sales event is going on. Make sure you stop in. Talk some sports with Justin, and he'll definitely show you the rounds at the Ford dealership. Justin, it's always so much fun to get you in. I appreciate your guys' support, especially here on Drive Time Sports, and I know we'll catch up again real soon.
Yeah, we'll catch up. Thanks, Jordan, for having me. I'll talk sports with you anytime.
I know. It's always fun. Anytime I go down to the dealership, I think we talk more about sports than we do cars.
Absolutely. But it is great.
Thanks again, Justin.
Thank you, Jordan.
We got a break for just a moment. We do have more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. Again, we are live from the Auto Forum Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
Back to close out this Wednesday edition of the show. How about this for some news? Remember that match between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson? It's official. Thanksgiving weekend. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, match play, $9 million on the line, and it's going to be on pay-per-view. Thanksgiving weekend, live pay-per-view coverage will be available on Bleacher Report Live and DirecTV. There's a poster for it. Looks pretty sharp. I'm interested in this. It'll take place Thanksgiving weekend, and for me, it's kind of along the lines of Mayweather-McGregor from an intrigue standpoint. It's similar to the horse racing back in the day, you know, where you'd have the match races. I love watching match races on YouTube. I love getting on and looking at old match races. That's why I'm interested in this. I'm not a huge golf guy. I like to play golf. I like to watch golf occasionally, but I'm watching this. I would pay money to watch this. There's going to be like the 24/7 for boxing, which is one of my favorite shows ever. I love the 24/7 for boxing. We're actually going to get that with Tiger and Phil. House highlights along with HBO Sports. This is cool. 42-year-old Tiger Woods going up against Phil Mickelson. Two of the biggest names in golf. If you're looking to get casual fans interested in the sport of golf, I think this is a prime way to do it. Tiger, Phil Mickelson, Thanksgiving weekend in Las Vegas. A time hasn't been announced, time of the day. And that's important for me, because I would love to see this happen at night. I would love to see golf at night, especially over Thanksgiving weekend. It's got to be prime time. You can't do something on Saturday, charge people money for it, and have it take place at noon. I want this at night. I want a different nuance, but I will pay money to watch the match, Tiger and Phil Mickelson. Last topic before we close out this Wednesday edition of the show, I'm going to bring in Travis Anderson for this one. Travis, it was reported earlier today that Manu Ginobili is seriously considering retirement for the San Antonio Spurs. To me, there's absolutely no surprise here. In fact, I believe that he will retire. He's going to inform the Spurs of his decision soon. I say he is going to retire because, for me, it's a rebuild mode for the San Antonio Spurs. You have no Kawhi Leonard. LaMarcus Aldridge, you're going to eat that contract. He was better last year. Still not living up to the billing of that contract.
Still not what you're paying him.
Still not worth what you're paying him. Not at all. Wouldn't shock me to see Ginobili call it a career. And to me, there's no reason for him to continue unless he actually has the love and still believes mentally and physically he can withstand the grueling 82-game season. There's no reason for him to continue.
No, he needs to retire. I think he's past the point of his prime.
Well, he's well past his
prime. Yeah, well past. So it's time for Manu Ginobili to hang it up, because San Antonio, why would you bring him back when you're in a rebuild?
San Antonio, you owe it to him.
Yeah, if he wants to, you owe it to him, but for your roster, doesn't make sense.
Do you realize he's the last player on the roster from that big three? Duncan, Parker, Ginobili. That was a big three that won some championships. He's got 1 year left on his contract if he decides to return. Averaged 9 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds over 65 games last year off of the bench. His playing time, it's going to be limited next year because you have DeMar DeRozan coming in, plays the same position. See, Kawhi Leonard didn't play the same position as Manu. DeMar DeRozan's going to play the same position. DeJounte Murray plays the same position. Patty Mills plays the same position. You have a rookie in Lonnie Walker. This kid's the real deal. Lonnie Walker is going to be that next generational star, I think, for the Spurs. He's going to be the next name on San Antonio that you'll pay attention to outside of DeMar DeRozan. A lot of players on a quote-unquote rebuilding roster. To me, it doesn't make sense for Ginobili. So here's my question to you. His number go up in the rafters the day he retires?
San Antonio retired Bruce Bowen.
Okay, because you're right. They did retire Bruce Bowen.
Do I think so?
No, they shouldn't have retired Bruce Bowen. They should not have retired Avery Johnson.
No.
But Manu Ginobili, does he deserve to have his number retired?
No.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
He was all right player.
Dude, he's a Hall of Famer. Manu Ginobili is a Hall of Famer. To me, he's one of the most decorated basketball players that we've seen over the last two decades. You really don't think so?
He's very good. Hall of Fame? Maybe.
Well, it's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Okay, so let me give you the resume, okay? 4 NBA championships. He's gone to the All-Star game twice, which is a travesty because this guy has been an All-Star more than twice in his career. 6th Man of the Year. Starred for Argentina on the national team. Gold medal 2004 Olympics. I believe he's one of the only players to win a gold medal in the Olympics and an NBA championship not from the USA.
Pretty impressive.
I believe he's one of the only individuals to do that since professionals were allowed to play in the Olympics. This guy is a Hall of Famer. You have got to give more respect to Manu Ginobili.
He was all right.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. No.
San Antonio should have George Gervin, David Robinson, and Tim Duncan, and that's probably...
You give me Manu Ginobili over George Gervin. That may be sacrilegious to a lot of the old-time basketball fans. I do not care. You give me Manu Ginobili was an elite defender.
He's better than Avery Johnson and Bruce Bowen, I'll give you that, but...
Oh my gosh, you and I do not agree on this at all.
No,
Manu Ginobili to me, I want that guy on my team in a wheelchair. I love Manu Ginobili.
He was very good. I know it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, so he's going to get in.
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer. He is absolutely okay. Goodness, dude, he's a Hall of Famer.
He's all right.
Oh my goodness. We'll agree to disagree. Out of time on this edition. I want to have this discussion tomorrow.
Okay, we can have it.
I want to have this discussion.
I don't think Manu
tomorrow.
Ginobili is a Hall of Fame player.
Let's set the stage right now. We'll put together a segment of players in the NBA right now that I believe are Hall of Famers, and you and I can debate that, because Manu Ginobili is at the top of that list as far as players that aren't superstars on the team.
That are the role player, dirty. I mean, he smacked that bat out of the air, so maybe he should be in the Hall of Fame for that.
He is a Hall of Famer, hands down. Hands down. He's one of the greatest San Antonio Spurs of all time, and we're talking about a franchise that's top 5 for NBA titles.
Duncan, Gervin, Robinson, and probably Manu, who's probably 4th.
One of the greatest for the San Antonio Spurs. Out of time of this edition of the show, he's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.